Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You know, I would look at how we end the season this past year, 15-5 down the stretch. Obviously, you know, a bitter loss in the play-in game. But the players who played in that game, Giddey, White, Herter, Modest, Vooch, you know, those guys all logged big minutes. They're all coming back. They're all going to be with us. That's the plan.
Yeah, you heard Mark Eversley, the general manager of the Bulls. They're all coming back. Notice Nikola Vucevic's name was mentioned there. So
yes, I did notice that.
That is the plan as we talk Bulls here on Rahimi and Harris. Mark Grody in for Layla. And time now for us to go out to the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, where Nick Friedel joins us, CircaLasVegas.com. He is the Odyssey Sports NBA Insider. Nick Friedel, Insider Calls, brought to you by Hyundai. We put your safety first and everything else second. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Nick, it's like Groundhog Day out here. More of the same from the Bulls. They do not want your picks. They do want your players that you don't need anymore as you push for a title. Is that an accurate statement in your opinion?
Marshall, the front office is a joke.
Well, there you go.
That's the biggest takeaway here after listening to these press conferences the last few days and hearing the ramblings and the spinning. I love my friend John Greenberg's column from The Athletic today because he opened it by pulling back a quote from Karnisovas from a couple months ago saying, he took a little bit of a step forward, and then you've got Eversley a couple days ago saying, we took a little bit of a step back. What end is up at this point? The Bulls are the laughingstock right now around the league, and the hardest part is there are so many good people within the organization. I've known them for a long, long time at this point, and Mike Reinsdorf keeps people in position that shouldn't be there any longer. And I think plenty of people in the organization understand that, but they're not making the call. And from where I sit, this is all on Mike, because we can talk about the ridiculousness of some of these moves and Karnisovas not even being available to speak to the media, which is a complete joke, and then Eversley screwing up reading off essentially cue cards, the messaging that he wanted to get across. It is a total mess. The rest of the league sees that it's a total mess, but Mike decides to keep guys in place that should no longer be there.
You know how I picture it, Nick, to be honest? I picture it as this. The Bulls are like that bodega, the corner store, where you go in there with your buddy, and then you can distract the guy who runs the store and just grab whatever you want and just walk out, and nobody's going to be any the wiser. Because this deal, the latest one, the Lonzo Ball, when you could have gotten a first-round pick for him at the trade deadline last year, but instead decided to re-sign him and now trade him for a player that the Cleveland Cavaliers deemed unnecessary in their push for an NBA championship, smacks of deja vu, because they just did this with Alex Caruso, and everybody said, why didn't you get some compensation? Now, I'm not saying Josh Giddey's not a good player. I'm not saying he can't be helpful on a team, but knowing what they need to turn things around, Giddey's not enough. Isaac Okoro's not going to be enough. There's got to be someone somewhere saying, this is not the way to do this. I do not agree with their methods, and I just don't agree with what they're doing.
You are in a large majority there. People all over the league in the organization, they don't agree with what they're doing. But again, Marshall, this is why it goes back to Mike. This is on Mike Reinsdorf. The mess that has been created is on Mike and Jerry. And that's just the reality of the situation. When you continue to make the type of poor decisions that are being made, when you continue not to get back draft compensation in these deals, and then you try and sell fans on, no. We just need some more patience here. I mean, you got to be kidding me. How much more time do you need till you see that the front office is not suited for the positions that they're in? That is the saddest part. And I had to laugh, guys, the other day. Masai Ujiri is out in Toronto. That means that Masai Ujiri and Bob Myers are just sitting there now. They are waiting for some team to call and offer them a bunch of money and say, come fix the situation. And instead of doing that, Mike and the Bulls sit there and go, no, no, we're good. We just need to keep things the way that they are. It's a sad state of affairs, but when you see the moves that have unfolded over the last few years, you understand why they're in the position that they're in. And if you're a Bulls fan at this point, there is absolutely no reason to believe that anything is going to change anytime soon.
So what do you think that Michael Reinsdorf thinks that Arturas Karnišovas and Mark Eversley have done well to deserve getting a second bite at the apple and to apparently be given carte blanche, trust of this team in doing it in the way that they are doing it? Like, why are they allowed this stubbornness?
Mark, I think the answer is very simple. It all comes back to money. The building's full. People are showing up to the games. How much of that is on the front office? I think you could plug anybody in there at this point, guys. I think we've seen this for years. It doesn't matter who's in the front office. People are going to still show up to see Benny spill popcorn on everyone. And
it's that blatant, huh? It's that easy. It's that simple. It's logical.
It really is. And the hard part from a distance is, I think the biggest key here is the Karnišovas hire was Mike's big first hire on his own. And when you accept that it was just a bad hire and he has not done the job and you move on, you also have to accept, hey, I swung and I missed. And I don't think Mike is ready to do that yet. I think that's really the biggest problem here, at least in the short term. Because, again, the rest of the league is sitting there going, oh, are you kidding me? Like, again, they make another move and you get no – draft picks back again, but this is the way of the world as it pertains to the Bulls in how the rest of the league regards who and what they are. And until major changes are made up top by Mike himself, it's going to continue to be the same way it is, and there's no getting around that.
Odyssey Sports NBA insider Nick Friedell joining us here on Raheem and Harris. Mark Grody in for Layla. You can catch Nick over on the website formerly known as Twitter. That is Nick Friedell, NickFriedell. Insider calls brought to you by Hyundai. Hyundai helps protect you and your family on the road. We put your safety first and everything else second. The Bulls, they have been putting draft compensation second for a long time now. I point to you, Nick. Exhibit A. Joe Dumars, the day after the draft, gets on in a press conference and says he started making calls with the team that had the ninth pick in the draft to trade up so that he could get Derek Queen on his team. He said he was trading, and we found out later, one pick after the Bulls picked, that he traded away an unprotected first-round pick in 2026 belonging to New Orleans. Nick, how can the Bulls not cash in on this and get that valuable of an asset and trade down 10 spots? How does that's malpractice, correct?
Hell yeah, it's malpractice. But Marshall, you already know the answer to this. You've been in Chicago long enough to know when you have people that aren't doing the job correctly, you're going to have people that continue to make mistakes. And this is absolutely what it is. It's really kind of sad because you draft an 18-year-old, and who knows, guys? Who knows as we sit here what Essanguet is going to turn into over time? Maybe he becomes a really good player. We'll see. But an 18-year-old project on a team that so desperately needs draft help and picks and assets, you're telling me you couldn't move down a few more slots and been happy with an unprotected pick next year? It's all reinforcing the point that when you allow people that aren't fit to do the job and have proven they can't do the job well to stay in those positions, you get what you get. And it can't be any clearer to everyone else that the Bulls are a mess, stuck in complete mediocrity. But until Mike looks in the mirror and accepts that, nothing's going to change.
Okay, Nick, here's my big question for you. Nikola Vucevic, my two conditions for this front office proving that they can change, that they can evolve. Josh Giddey doesn't get signed for more than $25 million a year without an offer sheet signed by him somewhere else as a restricted free agent. That's condition number one. Condition number two is Nikola Vucevic is moved for assets and does not walk as a free agent. We've seen that happen before. Andre Drummond, probably the latest example that I can think of off the top of my head. Do you think either of those things can happen for the Bulls, or do you think they're just going to sign Giddey like they did Patrick Williams to outbidding themselves and just let Nikola Vucevic now stay on this team since it doesn't seem like anybody has an appetite for him?
Marshall, what you're asking is, do I think the Bulls front office can make the right move? And the answer is no, I do not. Because
in either case?
Recent history shows us that if there are two moves to be made, they will make the move that is the worst of the two over and over and over again. I don't see how anyone could argue differently. As far as Giddey goes, it feels like all along the Bulls made that move a year ago feeling like, all right, we're going to sign him. And I would stress this to any Bulls fan who says, oh, well, Giddey had a really good year and look at what he did in the second half. Okay, you are going to judge Josh Giddey differently, though, on a $30 million a year deal than you did on the deal he just finished. The expectations change. The Bulls know this as well as anybody. Look at Zach LaVine. Everybody's sitting there going, oh, my God, Zach LaVine, he's going to get so much better. He's on this deal. It's really team-friendly. What happened when they signed him for the max? Everybody went, uh-oh. he didn't get that much better, and now you're paying all the way up top for a player who's not a max player in the league. So I expect the worst every time from this front office because that is what they have shown us over and over and over again. I don't even know anymore what you can point to and go, oh, well, we know for sure that this was the right decision. I know all the most loyal of Bulls fans look at Bezelis and they say, oh my gosh, well, Matas, oh, this is a superstar in the making. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
1 year in. Let's take a deep breath here. So the front office is a gigantic problem, but if your anger and frustration is only directed at the front office, you're missing the much bigger point in play.
God, when I'm talking to both of you guys here. I'm trying to think of when the last time, no strings attached, that the Bulls made the right decision, like in a big move. You know what I mean? I mean, you could point to individual success stories, like Alex Caruso being here, like pretty good. But the last time they really did, even like DeMar DeRozan coming here, which was really good, it wasn't the right type of player with Zach LaVine. I don't know, like, when the last time it was the Bulls did something where you're like, yep, they're headed in the right direction.
This goes back all the way, Mr. Grody, to when Garn Pax fired Tibbs, and that move had to happen.
Yeah.
Anybody with revisionist history who is saying, oh, no, they could have kept it. The divorce was happening. On both sides, there was fault. We've all been through this. But the decision to put all their eggs in the basket for Fred Hoiberg was the wrong one. And they knew it. And guys, this ties back into the front office issues that have been there for a decade. They knew Fred wasn't the guy that first year. They knew in how he handled players and the egos in play. They knew that they had chosen wrong, but they wanted to give him a little more hope. And they wanted to, they had signed into a 5-year deal. They wanted to give him more time to develop. And it didn't happen. And instead of saying, hey, this was not right, we need to go pick somebody else up and start fresh, they waited a little longer than they should have. What happened after Hoiberg? Jim Boylan and that whole experience, which was a total disaster. And everybody knew it again. And pretty immediately, like all along, oh, and they goodness. Let him stay there. I think Billy is a solid coach, but Billy with a roster that is devoid of any serious talent is not a miracle worker. So when you have all these missteps and you continue to allow the players to stay in place too long, Pat Williams is the perfect example. Hey, I don't know if this guy's very good. Okay, well, let's give him a $90 million deal. And on the back end of that deal, let's give him a player option. I mean, that's the biggest joke on top of everything else that we've seen lately. So when you continue to make the wrong decisions become even worse over time. And if you are looking for a professional sports organization that is run poorly in regards to how it values the on-court product, I don't think there is any better example of how bad things can be when you take away the money aspect of it than the Chicago Bulls. Oof. But if you're the Chicago Bulls and Mike Reinsdorf, the money aspect is at the forefront of everything they do every day.
Nick Friedell giving us a somber forecast for your Chicago Bulls. Nick, as always, we thank you for dropping by and dropping bombs.
See you guys. Hang in there.
Yeah, that was Odyssey Sports NBA Insider Nick Friedell. Insider calls brought to you by Hyundai. We put your safety first and everything else second. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.